Hi, Olivia, how you doing?
DJ Madden.
How are you?
Good. How you doing tonight, though?
Everything is all well, man. Staying safe and sanitized.
That's good. You still recording during this quarantine time?
Nah, man, I'm not even chancing going to the studio. You crazy?
I figured, I know some artists may have their own setup at home or something, but yeah, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah,
we
do that over here. Exactly, safe than sorry.
Yep, exactly. So tell me, what have you been working on? Any new music?
Obviously, the music on the album, haven't been doing it recently, of course, but I have like 3 songs left on the album. I was headed to Detroit right before this all happened, and we had to cancel and, you know, finish it up when this is all over.
So how about we get into the beginning here? Tell me, what was it like growing up in New York City?
Oh man, New York City is nothing like New York City. I was a very busy kid because I did too much stuff. I like to play basketball, but then I like to sing, and then I played cards, and I was just doing too much as a kid. Like, you know, one of those kids who didn't really know what they wanted to do because you were a tomboy, mm-hmm. but you were a girly girl, so I had everything going on.
You mentioned that you played basketball. Who was your favorite basketball player?
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one because all my friends know that I love the Boston Celtics. So it's probably going to have to be Ray Allen.
Okay. That's rare. New York, you're from New York City and you're a Celtics fan.
I know, but I can't do the norm. Everybody would expect, you know, the Knicks or the Nets. Nah, man, I was always a Boston fan. It's really weird.
But you're lucky. You'll actually get to see wins in your life, and you already have.
True, I was trying not to say it.
I haven't seen a win. I'm still waiting. I'm a Knicks fan, so it's tough.
Oh, you're going to be waiting for a long, long, long time.
Yeah. I'll probably be dead. I'll probably be 100 years old, maybe.
No, don't say that.
Oh, man. So, when did you start to take singing very seriously? What age?
I would have to say 15 years old. So, mm-hmm. for me, I think that was around the time when Monica and Brandy popped up on the scene. And my older brother, he used to always go to the studio, and his boy was a DJ. So I would go with him, and he would take me sometimes, and I just fell in love with it. Like, they would play all to me, it was old school records, you know, but to them, it was new school stuff. So I would hear the Dos Effects and EPMD and everybody, and then he would play Anita Baker and all of that stuff in there. And I was like, oh my God, I love this. And then I just fell in love with it from there. Mm-hmm.
Now, who were some of your favorite R&B inspirations?
Brandy will always be my top R&B inspiration. But as I said, Anita Baker, she's the epitome for me. And Luther was my godfather, so I really miss him. He was amazing. And who else would it be? Those probably would be my top 3. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the changes in sound? You mentioned Anita Baker, and then we go into the 90s. You get the TLC sound, SWV, Changing Faces. And then we have the transition mm-hmm. to the early 2000s with Aaliyah and you, of course. And I know Aaliyah was in the 90s mm-hmm. too, but more into the 2000s. How do you feel about the changes of sound over the years?
I think it's a good change. I believe that that's what music is supposed to do. You know, it's supposed to evolve, but we also come back to where we started from also. So it's kind of like a big 365.
And you released your debut album in 2001. What was your favorite song off of that album?
My favorite song off of that album would have to be It's On Again. Mm-hmm.
It's On Again. Make sure mm-hmm. everyone go download that and check that out who hasn't already, because that's real R&B. And I'm a big critic of R&B today. I love the raw soul vocals. I like that. Like, with not too much auto-tune. I like the raw vocals. That's why I'm a big fan of the 90s R&B scene, because you actually had a feeling from that music, and it had a strong message. Same with the early 2000s.
Exactly. And you know when you go see that artist live, they're going to sound like the record. Most of them don't sound like they record today when you go see them.
No, it's because it's all auto-tuned, mostly.
Yeah, mm-hmm, all the tricks in the studio.
And I know you studied music in Queens in high school, too. What were some of the things that you...
Yeah, I went to Bayside High School.
Yep.
And then I also studied at Five Towns College. So me and Sus One, we went to college together.
Oh, repeat that? I couldn't hear that quite well.
I said me and DJ Sus One, we had went to Five Towns College together.
Oh, okay.
And we studied music there also.
Yep, mm-hmm. Power 105 DJ, yep. Now, what were some of the important things that you learned while at your time in high school and learning about music that would help you with your career?
I really would say pitch. You know, I always concentrated on that to have perfect pitch because, again, for live shows, I always like to sing live, so I just want to make sure that I sound like how I sound in the studio on the stage. And then I would say breathing technique, being able to hold a note. You know, that's also key. You don't want to be singing and you cut off because your throat is dry or your stomach is winded.
Now, what's the longest time you can, you know, hold that note when singing?
You know what? I have never tried that, like, to hold it the longest, but I've held it for 2 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, that is a long time.
People think 2 minutes is really fast. It's not.
Yeah, no. I've seen people hold it for 20 seconds, and I'm in awe. 2 minutes. I've never seen that. That's insane.
Growing up in the church, you know, on the choir, they teach us a lot of that stuff. So that's also where my singing comes from, too.
Mm-hmm. And what was it like working with 50 Cent? How did you guys meet?
Oh, man, that was just so crazy. I remember I had signed to Interscope in 2003, and at the time, I was managed by my cousin, Paul Johnson, and then he called me and said, look, being that we're at Interscope, Violator, who is Chris Lighty, really wants to talk to you. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I get on the phone, and, you know, just thinking it's probably going to be, you know, a management talk or something like that, and he's like, yeah, I manage, you know, 50 Cent, and he's over here with Interscope now, and, yeah, he really wants you to sign to him. I'm like, huh? So that was just, it was like a total shock. And then I'm now thinking, okay, coming from being a solo artist now, do I want to be thrust into with, you know, a full male rap group? Or what if I don't do it, thinking that they're going to shelve me because I'm a new artist? You know how it is when the building was everybody's favorite. So just weighing the pros and cons, and I was like, nah, this seems like a great idea because he was still off the hype of in the club and everything. So, you know, of course I knew who he was already and from being from Queens. So that was it. After we spoke, I think we met the next week because I was already living in LA at the time. And then we met that next week and the deal was done.
Mm-hmm. And that was the first track that you guys made was Candy Shop, right?
Yep, that was the first track we made together. Mm-hmm.
Now, how did the hook come about? What was the inspiration for that? Because that became an iconic song in its own right, especially you hear it in movies like The Hangover.
Yeah. So what's crazy is, so we were on our plane headed over there, and we were thinking of ideas already.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got to the studio with Scott Storch in Miami, and he played us the track, it just... I don't, you know how some things just come instantly to you, the words? It just happened. And we were like, yep, that's it. And we ran with it.
What was it like being in the studio with Scott Storch? Because he's one of the iconic producers of hip-hop, too.
Oh, Scott, he's just, yeah, he's amazing. It comes natural for him. So, and he's so quiet, so you wouldn't expect either. Same thing how I felt when I met him. He's so quiet, but they're, like, just so super dope, like, their personality and with their music. So it was amazing to be in the studio with Scott.
Mm. I want to get into Love & Hip Hop, too. In 2011, you joined Love & Hip Hop, right?
Yes, uh-huh, 2011.
What was that experience like, and what made you want to join reality television?
So what's crazy with that, another Violator moment again. For those who don't know, Mona Scott was at Violator at the time when I was signed with Chris Lighty as part of the management. So her and I already had a good rapport. She calls me up and says, look, we're looking to do this show. At the time, it was called Jim and the Family Jones, but they wanted to switch it up.
Mm.
So she was like, I really want you to be a part of it. And it was originally supposed to be me and Misa, who everybody knows is Puff's baby mom, and then Chrissy and Emily. So that's how we slated it as. And she told us, you know, it's going to be a whole Sex and the City type vibe, like some real flaw stuff. But then it didn't really turn out to how she said it was going to be. But it still is a huge show, so I'm not even mad at it.
Now, when you watch that show and we see you in the show, is that your actual self or are you putting on a performance, would you say?
I've never put on a performance.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that you guys miss is that with the editing, they don't show you the full person. Like, sometimes they want to pick and choose what stuff they use to show of a person. I don't know if they're trying to give them a character or what have you. Because most people who know me, they know that I'm fun, they know that I'm sarcastic, I got a slick mouth, but they tend to not show that on me, and I don't know why. They always make me seem like the serious, or I don't, it's kind of like the total opposite of me, but this season, you are totally getting the raw, unfiltered me because they have no choice, because my storyline is what it is, and that's just how my attitude is going to come out right now.
What do you love doing more? Do you like to sing more, or do you love acting?
Singing will always be number one. I think acting comes naturally for me just because that I am an entertainer, and I would say most entertainers, we do kind of act when we get up on stage, whatever the act may be. So I enjoy both, but singing will always be my first love.
Are you involved in any upcoming movie roles, by any chance?
Yes, I am. We actually just finished a film called Better Than My Last, and it was supposed to come out in May, actually, but because of everything that's going on, they're not going to do a theater release, of course, so I really don't know what they're doing with it yet, but the director is Sean Baker, and I did it with my co-star, Sasana Johnson. You guys might know him from The Wire. So it's a really, really dope movie, and it's based on a true story, so hopefully you guys will get to see it this year.
Mm-hmm. And Jack sent me your track, which is in my rotation on my own radio station, Join Me.
Nice.
What was the inspiration behind that track?
So another vibe night, just out here in Miami, and my producer, he's actually one of my faves right now, his name is HV, and he has around 6 tracks on my new album. And the first time he played this for me, I started kind of sing rapping, so I already knew that I liked it, and then I just was like, okay, this is it, and that's when I came up with the Join Me, Bubble Bath in the Back, and I was like, oh, this is it, and
yeah.
I just went and laid it down, and yeah, so it was just a vibe. You know how sometimes you just feel something, and you just off the top of the head, and that's actually how that record came about.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your opinion of females in R&B right now today? Do you feel as though that they're the face of R&B?
So I feel as though they're the face of R&B. I mean, right now we got some good ones because I love her and I love Summer Walker. So we got some good ones going on. I would say the ladies are holding it down right now.
Mm-hmm. Are there any that you would want to work with?
I'm kind of an old school at heart, so I would really want to work with Lauryn Hill. That would be like the top thing for me.
The Miseducation. It's a great album.
Yes, absolutely. Will always be.
What's your favorite Lauryn Hill song?
That's a tough one. I couldn't even choose if my life depended on it. I got too many.
X Factor, that's a good one.
Yeah. Nothing matters. It's too many. Once you get started, you'll be like, oh, man, that one too.
How about hip-hop today? Because as you mentioned, and you often do in your songs, you sing rap too. Who are some female MCs? And it doesn't even have to be female MCs that you're a fan of.
I'm a huge fan of Rick Ross, actually. I've always been. And I love Jay-Z. Jay-Z, of course. Let's see. I wish Eve was still rapping, and she was super dope. Missy Elliott, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We always got some great hip hop legends.
Yeah, we do. How do you feel about an MC in today's spotlight? We don't really use that term in today's hip hop terms.
Right, an MC, because nobody's really lyrical. Everybody just wants to do with, you know, the catchy type stuff. But I mean, J. Cole, he would be in the top for me, along with, you know, Kendrick and Wale.
Mm-hmm.
Those to me are lyricist MCs right now.
I love Dave East too. He's great.
Oh yeah, Dave East is good too. Mm-hmm.
Dave East is, he's highly slept on in my opinion.
That sounded like he's one of your favorites.
Yeah, Dave East is my favorite rapper right now. He's, because he's the bridge between, I feel as though, the trap music, because he can rap on a trap beat, actually rap, as we all call it mumble rap, but he can actually rap on the trap beat, and he can rap over a boom bap beat, a storytelling beat.
True. Yeah, very true.
Yeah. In 2014, you came out with a book, too. What made you sit down and write a book about yourself called Release Me, My Life, My Words?
I think at that time, I was just told myself I'm going to be finished with Love and Hip Hop. And then just remembering all the stuff that went on between when I was first signed to Jitty Records and then Interscope / G-Unit and then being independent, just thinking of everything that I've been through and wanted to inspire others who might be going through the stuff that I've went through and just giving them good insight into what the industry has and, you know, being a woman in the industry also. I just wanted to compile a lot of good and bad stories in my life so that people can kind of understand, because a lot of people, they know that I'm really private, so this is the first time that I've ever done anything like this and was so open and vulnerable. And it was also, I wouldn't say healing, but kind of, I guess that's kind of the word, you know, just to get stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually was a good process for me, because it came so natural, being that I'm a writer, like my pen just flows. So it was actually a good thing for me to do, you know, to write this book.
This was your first book, right?
I didn't have a ghostwriter, so I really did write this myself.
Well, that's good. I don't like ghostwriters.
Yeah.
Now, this was your first book, right?
Yeah, my first book.
Would you release
some? I want to get into doing kids' books.
Okay, yeah, that was going to bring me to my next question. Was there going to be another book that we could see for you in the near future?
Yeah, I think I'm going to start doing kids' books, because I have a lot of god kids, and they always want me to sing and read to them, so I think that's what's going to be next.
Now, what is one idea that you have for a book so far? And you don't have to give all the details. What is something that you're thinking of as your first children's book?
So, I can give you a smidgen of the detail, because one of my god kids, he is a karate fanatic, and my other godchild, well, I have 10, but I'm just pinpointing two of them, and the other one, she likes to wear, like, tutus, those big tulle skirts, like, everywhere, so I actually combined the two of them and made them, like, a duo in the story, and it's super funny and it's so cute, so I don't really want to tell you anything else with that, but it's a great story between the dynamic between the two of them and the boy and girl.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people will be looking forward to that. Now, have you started writing this story yet, or you're just...
Yeah, I actually have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what's a rough estimate of when we can expect this book to release?
That'll probably be at the top of the year, because the album should be at the end of the year. Hopefully, with everything going on, we'll still be slated for that. And then I actually have some more movies that I'm going to be filming also. So the book will probably be next year.
Okay. Now, what kind of movies are you filming?
So I have a role where I'm going to play an assassin. That is what I'm looking forward to the most. That's what's coming up next.
Mm-hmm. I want to get back to the music as well. Are you currently independent?
Yes, I am.
And before, I know you've been signed to deals before. What would you feel as though is the, would you say is the most beneficial to being a part of a, just being an independent artist?
The most beneficial of being an independent artist, one, you get to put out your own music. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing because most labels like to pick what they want you to sound like, and it's not most necessarily what the artist wants to use. And then two, you get to keep the majority or mostly of your money.
And the major thing too with that that's important is promoting yourself, especially mm-hmm. through social media.
Yep, exactly.
Do you feel as though the record labels will eventually die out? Because I've had this many conversation before with other artists who feel as though that record companies may go under because a lot of people prefer to be independent because they can make their own money.
Independent. It's a tough one because some people do like signing to major labels because they get the extra added promotion and all of that stuff. So it just depends on where you are in your career and what you personally want. Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned before, you're releasing the album hopefully by the end of the year. What are some songs that we can expect off this album? What are some of the messages and themes and even beat production that we can expect?
Well, the album is called Pressure, mm-hmm. and there's so many dope records on this album. And I'm not even tooting my own horn. Like, every song is literally a single. And I didn't purposely do that. That's really how it came out. I think one of my favorites is this other track called One More Chance. And it's with me and a reggaeton artist. His name is Papa Cheche. And it's like it's mixing, I guess it's a mix-up of, it's just, that record is just crazy, guys. You guys got just got to hear it.
Now, who are some of the producers that are going to be on this album?
So mainly, I really did use HV for a lot of the stuff.
Okay.
I know everybody likes to use producers that are known more. I'd rather take the Jay-Z route. You remember when he went with all unknown producers?
Yeah.
The tracks were just outstanding. So I'd rather give, you know, dope producers a chance to be heard. And his beats do not disappoint, I promise you.
I don't think so. I don't think it will. From what I'm hearing, it sounds
good
to me, especially
and
with Join Me.
The Join Me track. Yeah, he's insane.
Yeah, I think the album's gonna definitely be a good one. Now, what was the date of the last album that you released? How many years has it been?
Oh my God, that was 2001.
2000. Wow.
Everybody thinks that we put out. I put it on an album with G Unit, but we didn't mm-hmm. because 50 had me touring with him so much, and then you know by the time we got off tour, it was this whole thing about. You know, I was unhappy with not having any R&B presence at the label because everybody there was really hip-hop and rap. And I was like, okay, nobody can pinpoint the focus of what I'm supposed to do and everybody is trying to do my songs or my album as if it's a rap album. And I was like, no, we need somebody who knows R&B. And that's when we kind of, you know, started to butt heads and that was it.
Mm-hmm. So they are basically telling you how your album should be.
Yeah, I mean, he figured why not follow, you know, his success of what he did with his album. And I'm like, okay, that's good and everything, but I'm not a rapper. So, you know, that was always the issue.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing that I've heard from record labels, from artists, and that's why they choose to go independent, is that they force you to sound like someone that's big on their label. You can never have your own sound anymore. And I think that's what's best for an independent artist is that you can create your own sound. And I think that's why everything today sounds the same, even R&B. Everyone sounds the same. There's no distinct qualities It's a very few people.
It really does.
There's only very few
people.
I'm
on the radio and I'm like, I just heard this song a minute ago. And I'm like, oh, that's not even the same rapper.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
And that has a lot to do with production, too. The production sounds the same. I can't tell the difference between a Metro Boomin beat and then maybe a Zaytoven beat.
Everybody wants to mimic what's already out there. And before you do something different, like, people are going to like it just because it's different. Like, don't be afraid. And that's what everybody's doing. They're just using the same sound over again.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Is there anything else that you want to get out on the airwaves here tonight, Olivia?
I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
But, I do have my own show that's coming out. So we were already in pre-production with this, and it's called Live Lavish. So it's a lifestyle TV show, and hopefully once everything gets filming, we'll be finished filming by the end of the year, and you guys could get it for 2021, so... I have a lot of stuff going on, and I have my my foundation in Congo, and it's called Esengo, which means joy in Congolese. And what we do over there is we give back to the people who, you know, in the schools and in the hospitals, because they don't have the same, you know, quality of stuff here, the equipment, mm-hmm. and as far as stuff, equipment in the hospitals and also in their schools. So we're actually building schools there, and we're funding the hospitals for their equipment and everything.
Hmm. Now, Olivia, I gotta ask you this because you were working with G Unit. Who you and you can be honest all you want to be here with this question I'm gonna ask you. And I have this debate all the time from you working with G Unit. Who's the best rapper in G Unit? In your opinion?
Banks.
Yeah, that's what I argue. That's what I argue all the time. I said, Lloyd Banks.
He will always be the top lyricist.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
Your argument is valid.
Yeah. What's your favorite Banks verse?
See, now I couldn't tell you because I've heard so much unreleased stuff that you guys didn't hear.
Oh, okay.
So he has a lot of dope stuff that you guys would be like, why didn't he put this out? So he's still dope right now.
Mm-hmm. And he's another one I feel as though he could have a lot of spotlight. Do you think that record label that he's on is still, you know, having 50 Cent outshine him almost?
Now, I don't know where Banks is at now. I don't believe he's still signed to the unit, but I wish he would come back out with something.
Yeah. It would be refreshing to hear Lloyd Banks again. And I've had a talk because I had Kid Kid on my show, and he was with G-Unit, and... He parted ways,
mm-hmm.
and he just felt as though he wasn't getting enough recognition. Because 50 Cent, with 50 Cent on G-Unit, he's the face, so it's kind of hard to outdo 50 Cent's shine, basically.
Right. Yeah, it's a tough call.
Yeah, it's rough, and I think that's why people part ways, and I think it's best. Everyone has their own sound, and they should be recognized for it.
Right. Exactly.
Olivia, is there anything else you want to get out here tonight? Now's your time. Anything else?
No, everything is all good. I just want everybody to stay safe out there. Make sure you wear your mask when you go outside. And please do not listen to Trump and head out to your nearest bar or the beaches. Stay your butt at home so you can be safe later on.
Exactly. I don't even watch his press conferences. It's all lies.
I can't. I throw my shoe at the TV every freaking time.
It's the same thing every night. Nothing changes. It's like he's living in a different world from us. Everything's great. There's nothing great. There's people.
Yeah. And he just pats himself on the back. It's mind-boggling.
Imagine
he's not doing anything.
Imagine if Obama did this. The backlash that he would get. It's unreal.
You already know.
Yeah.
You already know.
The backlash. It'd be through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
It would be through the roof.
They think that this is protesting that they're doing right now. They'd be in front of the White House trying to get him out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's just insane. Just watching the live Twitter feed yesterday of the press conference, and it's just all the same crap.
Don't do it.
Yeah, all the same stuff every night. And it's just the fights between people, just online between each other. It's like, I've never seen this... tension between people.
Just watch Cuomo. He's the most informed person we're going to hear from.
I agree. I wish he was president.
I agree too. But lucky for New York, he's not going to do that. He won't leave them. He won't leave them dirty.
No. Oh, you're right. Hopefully this all ends soon, and when it ends, I would love to have you come down to the station or call in at St. John's University for the new album coming out too.
I would absolutely love to. My pleasure.
I appreciate that, Olivia. I want you to take care and stay safe, all right?
You also, and have a good night.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to me and Olivia's interview on my YouTube channel. Make sure you go check out the interview once it's posted on Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max on the YouTube channel, on my website, maxrcoglin.com. Make sure you follow Olivia on Instagram. I got it right here for you guys if you don't follow her already. At Only One Olivia, and on Twitter, make sure you follow her at One and Only Olivia. Make sure to go check out her first album, Olivia, on all platforms. She's dropping her sophomore album at the end of this year, and we can expect great things from that. Real R&B and much more. Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight. Stay safe, stay healthy out there. Stay tuned to my announcements at The Real Max on Instagram, TheReelMax. As I announced today for my birthday that I have launched my own radio station that I play true school hip-hop, R&B, and reggae, music from independent artists, on Live 365, live365.com, Live 365, the app called Mad Max Radio. Make sure you go check that out. And if you're an independent artist, make sure you hit me up on Instagram in the DMs at The Real Max, TheReelMax, if you want your song played on the radio. And please, no mumble rap. I want something nasty, something that'll make your face just scrunch up for that real hip-hop, something that'll get you in your feelings for R&B, and of course, reggae. Make sure you send that all to me, and thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight. Again, stay safe.